Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Open Door Baptist Church. I'm glad y'all are here this morning. Y'all please stand as we open up with worship this morning. You know, if you've been going to Steve's Sunday School class, it's talking a lot about heaven. But our opening song is about our longing to be in heaven. You guys ready? Let me try it one more time. That song so much I threw in an extra chorus. These guys weren't expecting. We all bow your heads, open up a word of prayer. Dear Lord God, I thank you and I praise you, God, that we can look forward to heaven because we belong to you. And God, I thank you and I praise you that I belong to you this morning, and we praise you that we belong to you. We thank you for your son Jesus, the sacrifice that he made for us that brought us to you, God. And Lord, as we stand here this morning and continue to worship and praise your holy name, God, I ask anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon everything that we do, God. That everything that we do here this morning brings glory and honor to you, God. Lord, be with Pastor Larry as he brings your word and speak powerfully through him in the power of your Holy Spirit. I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. A couple of brief announcements. Don't forget, if you are planning to attend the Seed Line Ministry down in Moundsville, that's where we put the Bibles together, the book of John and the book of Romans, and it'll go to a foreign nation. I don't know which nation that is, but 20,000. We'll put together 20,000 books. So it's a great thing. If you've never experienced, please sign up above the water cooler, because they need to know about how many's coming. All the information is here in your bulletin. Also, don't forget, next week we will not be in this building. We will be at Brook Hills Park, and we will be at the Cardinal Shelter. What's our state bird? Cardinal. We'll be at the Cardinal Shelter, all right? So that'll be at Brook Hills Park in Wellsburg, all right? So don't forget that. That's next week at 11 o'clock. And also, Royal Psalm Rhapsody, we need you to pray for this. If you don't have it on your Facebook, we ask that you put it out there, inviting people to come to this. It's going to be a great event in Weirton on the 23rd. And so all the information is there for that as well. And then also, the church membership meeting is coming up in September. It'll be September 3rd. Also, we are serving communion today the old-fashioned way. Yay. So be patient, because it's the first time since COVID that we've done it this way. But the little round cup in the center is gluten-free. The little round cup in the center is gluten-free. That's it. Thank you, brother.
Sorry about the wait, guys. Program.
Oh, I have days I lose the fight. I try my best, I just don't get it right. Where I talk the talk that I don't walk, and miss the moments right before my eyes. Somebody with the hurt that I could have helped, somebody with the hand that I could have held, when I just can't see past myself. Lord, help me be a little more like
kindness, goodness, love, and faith. A little more like faith.
You know, that's something I need to be reminded of way too often. I always want to act like I want to act and not the way Jesus wants me to act. We're having electronic problems today, folks. Salvation was on the earth.
to life again. I was made for more.
Soul held captive by depression, I speak.
hearts and every mind. 'Cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
Speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind here today. Lord, that you will send a peace. You will send a strength. You will send your power, Lord, for us to live by, to live through, and to live in. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we lift you up. We praise your holy name. And we ask that your power may fall, that your Holy Spirit will come and move mightily into the hearts of your people. And, Lord, if there's any here that do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that you will speak to them and you will call them and they will respond unto salvation through your word by faith. So, Lord, I just come and I just offer this worship service to you, praying that it glorifies and honors you, Lord, and that you are pleased with it. And, Lord, as we come to a time of worship and our giving of our tithes and our offerings, we pray that you will be blessed by it as well, Lord, that what we do and what we give and how we spend it and all those things together, Lord, that they will always and only bring glory and honor unto you, and it will further your gospel message. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we ask your blessings on those things. And as I speak your word, Lord, I pray the name of Jesus over myself. Lord, that if I'm going to say or speak something that's not true, is not right, is not of you, please silence me. Lord, let them remember your words, not mine. Let them remember the things that your spirit convicts, not me. But Lord, that you would rise up in this service today and you will move powerfully and there would come healing, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I pray your blessing upon this offering. Amen. Amen. May we see. Wait for our ushers to get back. But as they are coming, I just want you to know that we're entering into this time of communion. And this communion is to be partaken only by believers. If you've not believed and trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I would strongly suggest that you do not partake of these elements, not because I say so, but because Scripture says so. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians that we are to examine ourselves. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks of this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you and may sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So this is for believers because we're identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ and what he has done for us on the cross. That's why it's for believers. Now, I don't care if you're a member of the church or not. You need to be a believer. What you need to be is a believer, okay? So with that being said, one of the good points to judge that by is, are you baptized? All right, because every believer should be baptized. So, but if you're a believer, you can partake of this. So as the elements are going to be out, I'm going to ask that you reflect to yourself, is there anything that you need to be asked forgiven of before you come to this table? I know that I do. There's some things in my life that I know that I need to ask the Lord forgive before I come to this table, all right? So, and I'm sure that for many of us, it's the same way. So as they are handing out these elements, I'm going to ask that you would examine yourself and then so make the decision of what you want to do, okay? All right. The word communion means to have in common. And what do we have in common? Jesus Christ, right? And what is it about Jesus Christ that we have in common is that his body and his blood was broken and shed for each and every one of us. And his word tells us to do this in remembrance of him. This is not, does not impart grace. This is because grace has already been imparted to us. That we have received the grace of Jesus Christ unto salvation through his body and his blood. And so he tells us to come together as a body to partake of this. He says, in remembrance of me. Don't forget what I have done. Don't forget what binds you and us together. It is this body and it is this blood that was shed for you and I. So as we come to these elements that we hold in our hands, it's not just merely bread and it's not just merely grape juice. This is symbolic of the real body of Christ and the real blood of Christ. Let us never forget the price that was paid for our salvation and the covenant that we now have with God. Lest we forget. Scripture says this. It says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Pastor Richie, would you bless the bread, please? Take, eat in remembrance of him. This cup that you hold is symbolic of the blood that was shed for you and I. We know that there's only life in the blood. And there's only eternal life through the blood of Christ because it is the remission of our sins. It is what covers our sins. It is what identifies us as a follower of Jesus Christ. So don't take for granted for this cup. For in this cup was much love. Much, much love. May we never forget how precious is the blood that flowed from Calvary for you and for me. Scripture says, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Take, drink until he comes. Thank you, Lord, for this blood. Thank you, Lord, that you shed it so freely for us. Never let us tread up on it lightly, but let us always remember the greatest sacrifice that ever has been made is that you made for you, for me, and for all of those who will follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. All righty then. I've entitled today's sermons. I kind of teased some people on Wednesday night and told them I was going to continue on in my Bible series, and I told them I was going to preach on, and that's what I told them. Nothing. But let me give you a hint. I've entitled today's sermon, Killing Giants. I want to get back to the popular Bible stories. You know the stories that most of us have heard at least something about, right? We took a couple weeks hiatus, and we were on the mission trip, and then last week we looked at the mission trip with you all, but now we're back, right? So this morning I thought we would take a look at David and Goliath. So turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Donna, can I get my water? I still got breadcrumbs in my mouth. First Samuel chapter 17, beginning in verse 1. Now, listen, I have a ton of scripture today. I mean, literally, I have a ton of it. So you might just want to follow along. You do what you want, but here we go. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judea. They pitched camp at Ephesus, Damon, between Soko and Azekah. Saul and Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah, and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill on the Israelites, and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor and bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So here's the picture, right? Israel was in danger at the hands of the Philistines. So the armies were drawn up on opposite sides of the valley of Elah, right? Saul and the Israelites were assembled on the eastern side of the hillside, and the Philistines were assembled off on the hillside to the west, and they were getting ready for battle. So you can kind of see it there. We know what a valley is, and one on one side, one on the other. So the Philistines offered Goliath, who was a giant. Now, different measuring systems have been used to calculate that Goliath was anywhere from 9.5 feet to 10.5 feet tall, or somewhere in between. Nevertheless, he was buying his clothes at the Big and Tall Plus store. All right, and because proportionally to that size, right, he would have weighed at least 600 pounds, meaning he was huge, right? At least, in fact, almost big enough to be the entire front line of a football team, right? But the text says that Goliath wore a bronze helmet and a coat of scale armor weighing 5,000 shekels. That is about 125 pounds. And bronze greaves, this is kind of shin guards from your feet to your knees, kind of like soccer. If any of you know soccer, they wear shin guards, kind of like that, right? And he was armed with a bronze javelin and a long spear with a 15-pound iron tip. How'd you like to launch that a few times, right? Okay, so now you have the picture of Goliath, right? It's a picture of Goliath. Now, in the interest of the time this morning, I'm going to give you the Larry Garrison recap of the story, which begins in verse 12. I'm going to give you the scripture recap, right? Begins in verse 12. Now, David was the son of Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judea. Jesse had 8 sons. David was the youngest. Verse 17, David's father Jesse instructed David to take bread and grain to his brothers who were camped on the battlefield. So early in the morning, right, verse 20, David left his flock He was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. He left his flock, loaded up, and set out as his father had directed. David reached the camp just as the army was going out to its battle positions. David ran to the battle lines and greeted his brothers. As David was talking with his brothers, Goliath, the Philistine champion, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Now, I want you to remember, back at verse 16, says that Goliath came forward every single morning, every single evening for 40 days and took his stand calling someone out, right? So he did that, right? He's out there. Well, this time, David heard him, verse 24. When the Israelites saw the man, meaning Goliath, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Philistines had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter." I hope she was good looking. He will also give him his daughter in marriage, and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is terrifying the armies of God? Verse 31. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy." It's estimated that David was 17 years old at the time, right? It'd be about the same age as Hunter, right? 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 Okay, so he says, you're only a boy, and he has been fighting a man from his youth. Meaning Goliath was known to be a warrior. Goliath had been fighting a man from his youth. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and saw the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistines." Saul said to David, "Go. Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. He says, "I can't go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones. Everybody asked, why did he choose 5? I don't know. I would probably guess he was worried he had brothers, right? Right? So that's what I would say. And he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over. He looked him up and down, right? He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. Now, just to give you a picture, in case you can't get the picture of what this would have looked like, I think it might have been something like this. I'm just guessing. All right? Kind of equal, I think, right there. So, verse 43. So he, meaning Goliath, said to David, Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods, right? Verse 44, "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David turned to the Philistine. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled." this day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcasses of the Philistines' army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistines moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly. He didn't run away. He ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from his scabbard. After he killed him, he cut off his head with the sword. Then the Philistines saw that their hero was dead. They turned and ran. Great story, huh? Well, it's more than a story. It's a true historical event. And listen, if you were to go to Israel today, this very day, you could stand in the very spot where David killed Goliath. They can take you there and put you in that spot. And as far as Goliath, I've heard people say that there is no such thing as giants. Well, although it might be unusual, it is certainly not impossible, because skeletons of similar stature have been discovered in Palestine that are dated roughly the same time period in history. So this is a true historical account, and I believe out of this historical account, I believe that this story shows us two very important things. One, it shows us the fear of the faithless, and the faith of the fearless. Amen? So let's begin. Let's point number one. Let's look at the fear of the faithless. Now, I want you to take note of this, right? I want you to write this down. Take note of this. Fear comes when we live by sight and not by faith. Fear comes when we live by sight and not by faith. Because think about the story this morning. The Israelites saw Goliath, right? They're looking at him, right? 40 days, right? Twice a day. So they saw Goliath, and according to verse 11, they were terrified. So what did they do? Do you remember what they did? Look at verse 24. When the Israelites saw the man Goliath, they all ran from him in great fear. Now let me ask you all this. What are the giants in your life? What are the obstacles that leave you dismayed and discouraged and fearful? Maybe your giant is financial. Maybe you have a stack of mortgage payments or car bills and doctor bills, and it seems that as soon as you pay one of them off, then another one pops up and comes along, and the problem seems so large that you just can't face it. It's like a mountain. Or maybe your giant is an addiction. Maybe you've been struggling with it for years and years and years. Let me say, many do. Many Christians do. You've done everything in your power to try to break the habit, but it's become such a large problem in your life that you're starting to wonder if you're ever going to have victory over this in your life. And you're struggling. Or maybe your giant is a person. Not because they're 9 feet tall, but because they intimidate you. Do you ever have somebody intimidate you? I had somebody intimidated me for years. It was one of my employers. They intimidated me for years. Their personality is strong, or their tongue is harsh, or sarcastic, or their position is powerful, or their ability is so great that you feel like a mental midget before them in their presence, right? You just kind of feel low and not like you can equate to them. Maybe it's someone at school or a group at school who is bullying you. Maybe your giant is your parents. Or maybe your giant is a family problem or a marital problem or the relationships in your family. always seem to be in turmoil and you just don't know what to do. You just don't know how to fix it. Or maybe your giant is a health issue. Maybe you've received word, the big C word, cancer, or the big H word, I got heart disease, or diabetes, or you fill in the blank, right? Maybe you have a health issue. Maybe your problem is a grieving issue. You got stuck in the process of grieving, and you're stuck there, and it's overtaking your life. Or maybe your giant is you fill in the blank. So how many, let me ask, if you want to open yourself up this morning, let me ask you this. How many of you are dealing with a giant in your life right now? All over, yeah, everywhere. Well, unfortunately, the normal reaction to that, to the giant in our lives, is to get discouraged and scared, and then we give ground and we cower in fear. We act like we have no hope. We act like there's never going to be a solution. And when we do that, we allow it to roll over. When we do that, we allow it to roll over us. And it holds us, it holds you captive, that you will never have victory over it. You are held captive in fear, discouragement, depression, dismay. Do you know why that is? Because most of us live by sight. Let's be honest. We don't mind admit it. Because we're people of faith, but honestly, most of us live by sight. We see obstacles as undefeatable giants because of what might happen, what could happen, right? It's not that it has, but what could happen, what might happen if we don't defeat that giant, kind of like the Israeli army in our text today. But look what happens when we give ground, when we refuse to stand and face those giants. Verse 25, look what it says. Now the Israelites have been saying, do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. Now this word defy that's used there means this. That word defy means to taunt. It means to ridicule. It means to humiliate. And isn't that what the evil one does? Isn't that what Satan does? He wants to do that in your life. He wants to have you live in fear. He wants you to live as if your faith isn't good enough or strong enough. But he wants you to cower in fear before this giant. He wants you to feel defeated before this giant. Now, make no mistake about it. The devil wants to see us cower, to be fearful, so that he can do what? He can mock us. Just like Goliath was mocking the Israelite army for 40 days, twice a day, he came out and he mocked them. Oh, you're the people of the Almighty God, the only one God, true God. Look at you guys. Look at you. But you understand sometimes as Christians, when we proclaim Christianity and we come up to these problems and these giants in our lives, do you know that there are people out there that are watching us and they're mocking us because we act like we have no hope? And it's a sign of our faith. Listen, the Goliath for you may be a habit. It may be bitterness, an unsettled matter, a problem from the past, a difficult moral decision, whatever it may be. But the truth is, at some point in our lives, every single one of us has either had a giant facing us or will have a giant facing us. Guaranteed, it's going to happen. And what we have to do is decide, here and now, in our faith, in Christ, in knowing who we are, we have to decide here and now, how are we going to react to those giants? How are we going to face those giants? How are we going to battle? You got to have a plan. Steve, you're a military man. Would you guys ever go and hold in there? I mean, and many others, but would your platoon send you into a battle without a plan? No. You got to have a plan. You got to think ahead, because it's not if, it's when. We have to have a plan. And what we have to do is decide how we're going to react to those giants. We will either look at them as focusing on them alone. I got to go up against it all by myself, right? or we will look at them with God on our side. That's how it's going to happen. I'm going to look at it. I got to try to handle this all by myself, or I'm going to look at it. I'm going to handle this with God on my side. So I want you to look at the actions of the Israelite army here. Look at verse 11. It says that on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. So how do you think they were facing their giant? These are the God's chosen people. These are the ones that God made the promises to, right? And how are they handling that problem? They're handling it in fear. Now understand something. This is very important. Understand, this was a battle for the very existence of the nation of Israel. This one giant walking out there for 40 days in front of the whole entire army, what's at stake is the nation of Israel. Israel has struggled against the Philistines for 200 years, and a loss now would cost them absolutely everything. But yet, even Saul didn't want to go out there, right? Saul, right, the king, which is ironic since, according to 1 Samuel 8:19, the main reason why the Israelites wanted a king in the first place was so that he would lead the armies into war to fight battles, to combat the enemies, and to fight the battles of the Lord, right? That's why they got him. But at the end of the day, the king was just as scared as the people. The leader did not trust God. So listen, Goliath was not the only giant. The problem is this. Goliath was not the only giant in the Israelites that the Israelites were facing. They had a much bigger giant they were facing than Goliath, and you don't see it. You got to look at it. You got to get into it. You got to find it. Do you know what the Israelites' biggest problem was in their lives? Their giant lack of faith. That was the biggest giant. It wasn't Goliath. Their biggest giant was their giant lack of faith, which is also the biggest giant for most of us still today. Even though God had brought the Israelites out of Egypt in Exodus 14, even though God had raised up Joshua to lead them into the promised land, and even though God had given them many victories along the way, yet they did not have faith in God to give them victory over one person. You can go backwards from here and remember the Red Sea, Exodus, tons of miracles, right? But yet, they couldn't see the power of God when they were facing this one giant. Why? Because they were focused on the size of the giant. They're looking by sight, right? They're looking at this giant. They're focused on the size of the giant instead of being focused on the size of their God. Do you know how big and powerful your God is? Do you really understand it? I don't. I know he's big, and I know he's powerful. I know he is mightier than any force that I can hear, but do I completely got my whole head around it? No, but I trust that he's bigger than anything that I can see. Amen? He's bigger than anything I can see, right? So they were focused on the giant, and they weren't focused on the size of their God. Therefore, the faithless were living in fear. The faithless were living in fear. And fear is how you will live without true faith in God. And this is not how God wants his believers to live. That's not his goal for us, is to live in fear. We're not to be that way. He didn't leave us here as orphans to be alone. That's not what he did. You know what? We're to walk by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, meaning in God, right? We walk by faith, right? In God, not by sight. Now look at David now. Now look at David, because this man walks by faith and not by sight, which leads me to point number two, the faith of the fearless. We want to look at what it means to have a faith and be fearless. Now David handled this situation entirely different than Saul and his army did. Because I want you to notice, David, first thing that David did was he remembered his past. Did you pick that up on the scripture? He remembered his past. David was a shepherd, and David remembered how God protected him when he was in the fields. David told Saul in verse 37, "The Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, and the Lord will deliver me from this Philistine." Notice this. Notice David had faith in God, and the entire army had fear. One man had faith in God, and the entire army had fear. Why? Because David knew God. He walked with God. He was in fellowship with God. He knew God, and he knew what God could do and what God would do. He remembered his past and how God protected him. You would have thought that the nation of Israel by now would have had faith of all the things that God had done for them in their past. David knew God. He knew what God could do and what God would do, because in the times of David's life when he felt the most fear, God protected him, which produced faith in David's life. David knew that God stepped up for him in the past, so why would he not God step up for him in the future or the present? But unfortunately, sadly, many of us forget all the blessings from God in our past. We kind of forgot. It's like a news cycle, right? Can anybody remember what the news cycle was 2 weeks ago? Most of the government wants you to operate that way. What's popular 2 weeks ago will not be popular today, and you'll actually forget what it was 2 weeks ago. That's how we are. We kind of forget what God has done for us in our past. And when we forget that, right, in our past, when we are facing a giant, we forget that when we're facing a giant in our present. We forget that. But not David. David didn't. He remembered how God showed up for him in his past giants. So David faced a giant. Now he did not allow himself to get intimidated. I want you to notice that he didn't allow himself to get intimidated because he didn't rely on his own power but God's. Therefore, he did not allow himself to be afraid, because David knew that he was not going out on the battlefield alone. And we here today would do well to remember that. If you are facing a giant alone, then you're a Saul and not a David. You say David went out alone, and then you're missing the whole concept of the message. He was not alone. The whole entire Israel army was alone. Saul was alone. David was not. Saul and the army gazed at the problem. Look, watch what he did. They gazed at the problem. They focused on it all the time. For 40 days, they just stood there looking, dwelling on it continuously. And right, they're always centered on that problem. Isn't that how we are too in a problem in life? We get fixated on it and we just can't get off of it. We just look at it and think about it all the time. It's just we can't get out of it. Right? And so they just stood there looking, dwelling on it continually for 40 days. For 40 days, they're gazing at the problem, and they only glanced at God. Do you know people like that? Well, understand this. Lack of faith equals fear. Lack of faith equals fear. But not for David, because David gazed first at God, and then he glanced at the problem. I mean, he looked at this guy and says, "What's wrong with you guys?" And he went back and said, "Hey, this guy's out there, you know." He gazed at God first and then glanced at the problem. Do you know anybody like that? I want you to understand something. A good, strong faith will produce confidence. Understand, David knew that God was bigger than any giant he could ever face. And God is bigger than any giant in your life today as well. So just like David, we must look at the giant head on and move forward. And this church is the example of that we should follow as well. Listen, I know that there are things that that happened in my life that completely and totally overwhelmed me, or and things that have come in your life that completely overwhelmed you. And let me tell you something else. Most of the time, they're not fair. They're not fair. But the truth is, you're not alone. You're not alone. We've all been to the place where we've had to deal with giants like worry, doubt, anxiety, depression, insecurity, grief, and yes, fear, right? So whatever it has been, we've wandered through those dry valleys looking for answers, and sometimes we come up empty. Amen? And truthfully, we feel a lot like Saul and his army standing in the intimidating shadow of Goliath. We're standing here in the shadow of this giant, right? They were standing there in the intimidating shadow of Goliath, going nowhere in their faith, and right? Well, that's how it is when we stand in fear of our Goliath. We go nowhere in our faith and in our mission for Christ. We're standing still, being paralyzed by fear and uncertainty. Listen, I want you to remember this. Don't forget this. This was the promised land. God promised it to the Israelites. And they were at a standstill. They did not trust the promises of God. The question I want to ask you today, do you believe that God will deliver on his promises that he has made to you and I? They were at a standstill. They didn't trust the promises of God. They allowed doubt to intervene and rob them of victory. Now, who does that sound like? Who does that to us? Satan, right? He does, because Satan wants to do what? Satan wants to do what in your mind, in your life? Satan wants to do what? He wants to rob us of our joy. He wants to rob us of our joy. Satan wants us to doubt the power of God. Satan wants us to lose faith in the Almighty and question him. And when we question him, that is doubting him, and that affects our faith. And Satan knows it. Go back to the garden. Did God really say? Listen to me, giants will come, and maybe you are standing in the midst of the giant's shadow this morning as we speak. And listen, I'm here to tell you, I understand, it's not easy. It's not easy. There may not be a quick answer, but there is an answer. Listen, we're standing in the midst of giants this morning because and Satan will surely try to intimidate you. Satan will surely try to make you think that you are powerless and that God is not in control. And Satan will surely try to make you defy God. But you know what? No, this is good. We don't stand in the shadow of Satan. We don't stand in the shadow of Satan. We stand in the light of Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice, on the battlefield, the army was standing in the shadow of Goliath, but David was standing in the light of the Almighty, powerful God. There's the difference. There's the sermon right there. David was standing in the light of the Almighty, powerful God. And for you and I, we, church, those of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we do not stand in the shadows. We do not have to cower in fear. We can stand up. Why? Because Christ stood up. He defeated the grave. He is not powerless. He can stand, and I stand with him, and I stand in his light. We stand in the light of Jesus Christ, and it's his light that shines around us and makes the giant stand in our shadow. We have to get this. We're not standing in Satan's shadow. He's standing in the shadow of Jesus Christ, who is in us, right? If we're born again, saved believers, right? If we trust Jesus, we are the light of Christ. He's standing in our shadows. Listen, we can be like Saul in the army who approached the situation, but when they approached the situation, they kept putting it off, and the more they delayed, the more intimidated they become, the more fearful they become, and the harder the problem became to handle. Because they kept pushing it, pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. Because to them, the giant kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I imagine every day he walked out there, and the next day, every day they probably go, oh, geez, oh, man, he's bigger than he was yesterday. And they took off. Now listen to me, Christians. The truth is this. The truth is we wake up every morning and walk to the battle line. Every single day we wake up, Christian, we wake up every morning and we walk to the battle line and we look across the valley and see the intimidating problem standing over there. Right? We do. We look at it. It comes to our mind. Very first thing. And we look out and we see that intimidating problem standing over there. And you know what your personal giant is. I can't pick it all of them out, right? But you know what your personal giant is. And it happens day after day after day after day. Anybody amen? And the more we delay battling the giant, the more intimidating the problem becomes and the harder it is to handle later. Why? Because it robs us of our joy. It causes us to fear, and then it causes us to doubt God. But did you notice what David did? He shows up, looks out across there, surveys the situation, look at the problem head on, and claimed the victory. Did you notice that? Through the power, he claimed the victory through the power of God, not on his own. He looked at the problem through the power of God, but he who lived in him was greater than he who was in the world. He surrendered the situation by his faith, through his faith. I want you to notice that. He surveyed the situation by his faith, through his faith. Now that tells me that David lived by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:1 says this, faith is being sure of what we hope for. Are you sure of what you hope for? Are you sure of what you believe in? Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Yes, David could see that Goliath was big, but David knew that his God was bigger. Listen, some of you may be sitting here thinking, yeah, Pastor, that's easy for you to say, Pastor. Well, let me ask you this. Is it? Do you know me well enough to say that? Do you think I not have giants in my life? I'm just like you. But you may be sitting here thinking, Pastor, I can't pay my bills. Pastor, my kids are out of control. Pastor, I have an addiction that completely controls me. I have a diagnosis with a serious illness. And you want me to just trust God to fix it? Yes, I do. But I'm not the important one. The one who tells you to trust him is far more important than me. God says, trust me. But what I want you to notice is David did not just stand there and say, okay, God, I'm in a mess. I've got myself in a situation. This thing is just getting out of control in my life. This thing, I don't know how to deal with it. I don't know what to do. This problem is way bigger than me. So, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus, click your fingers and make it go away. I want you to notice David. He did just the opposite. David sized up the problem and then bent down on his knees and picked up a rock. He acted by faith in his faith. And that's what I'm telling you to do. Yes, you need to size up the problem. See what it is and where it truly stems from. And then get down on your knees and rely on the rock of your faith. Who is who? Jesus Christ, right? The rock called Jesus Christ, and surrender that problem to him. And then, here's where the hard part comes. Trust him. Trust him to show up. Trust him and go attack your giant. Don't just keep looking. Listen, with God, not on yourself, but with God, go attack the giant. Face it, not alone, but in your faith in God. And listen, David didn't see victory with his eyes. I want you to notice this too. David didn't see victory with his eyes because he couldn't see victory. He couldn't see victory with his eyes, but he could see it with the eyes of his faith. Do you see? He wasn't looking with his human eyes. He was looking with his spiritual eyes. He was absolutely certain that he was going to defeat this giant. And because he had faith, he had no fear. Why? Because he was not fighting this battle alone, right? And he believed that. So let me ask you this. How are you fighting your giant today? How are you fighting your giant today? Well, truthfully, you know what? There may be times when you are Saul. There are times when I am Saul. When you just don't have the faith to fight. Sometimes you think it's just too big. Then I implore you to ask God to send a David to the rescue. Didn't see that coming, did you? Ask God to send a fellow brother or sister in Christ to help support you. Remember Moses? He had to have help holding up the arms. And when he didn't, the battle would be lost. Listen, sometimes you might need a David. And listen, Christians. That means this. Those of you who are stronger right now, those of you who are not facing giant, those of you who are spiritually mature, those of you who are stronger right now may need to bring victory to those who are weaker, those who are struggling. Meaning this, you may need to stand in the valley for someone. That's what David did. You may need to stand in the valley for someone who is afraid to stand for themselves, like David did for Israel. You may need to stand for those who are afraid to face the giant alone. So you may need to bring some support to them. You say, support? Well, yeah. Did you remember how David started out going to the front lines? He was bringing what? Provisions. We may need to bring grain and bread to those who are stuck on the battle lines, who are unable to fight for themselves. That we who are stronger may need to bring physical provisions. We who are stronger may need to bring some emotional provisions. We who are stronger may need to bring accountability and encouragement provisions and love. We who are stronger may need to bring spiritual provisions, some spiritual nourishment, some spiritual encouragement that says, hey, 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 you're not alone. God's got you and I'm with you. Is that not the story of David and Goliath? Just some of that spiritual nourishment says you're not alone. God is with you and so am I. And we who are stronger may need to stand in the valley for those who are unable to stand for themselves. Because when we do that, then they too, those who are weaker, can see what God can do. And then when the day is done, they can celebrate the victory with us and we with them. You have someone to share. Not just to battle with, but you have someone to share the victory with. Amen. So this morning, church, I want you to assess your own situation. Are you currently facing a giant? Well, the answer to that is many of you said earlier that you were. Well, let me tell you this. Let me tell you what David would say to you. You're not powerless. You're not powerless if you have faith. Then God has given you the resolve and the resources to go up against the giant that you fear. Do you understand that? God has given you the resolve and the resources to go up against the giants you face and you fear, right? Just bend down. Watch. Just bend down and rely on the rock. Who's the rock? The rock of our faith. Who is it? Jesus Christ. Bend down and rely on the rock and know that you are on the army of God's side. And he has promises that he has made to you. You're not powerless before your giant. But at the end of the day, it all comes down to this: faith. It all comes down to faith. The question is, do you believe that God has the power to help you? Do you believe that the battle belongs to the Lord? Do you believe that the battle belongs to the Lord? You're his. He bought you. He purchased you. Do you believe that the battle belongs to the Lord? Then live by faith and not by sight. Live by faith and not by sight. So let's go before the throne of God. Why do I say let's go before the throne? Because that's where it begins. That's where it starts. That's where the power comes from, right? So let's go before the throne of God and ask him to help us defeat the giants in our life. Would you do that today? Would you bend your knee to the rock? The altar is open. You come before God because the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you have not left us powerless. And Father, you're the one that gave us the faith to begin with. We are saved by grace through faith, and that not of our own. You, Father, give us faith. So, Lord, we need those who are facing the giants to be able to come to you and say, Lord, give me that faith. Give me that faith to trust in you stronger, better, more, and know that the battle does not belong to me, but that the battle belongs to you. Lord, may we respond rightly through the convicting of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Will you please stand?
I couldn't help but have him sing this song.
Fashioned against the swift stands. Battle belongs to the Lord.
Remember, you're going to walk out those doors and you're going to face the giants of this world. You are not powerless. Amen. Walk out those doors under the strength and the power of the Lord. Why? Because the battle belongs to the Lord. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed. If you need to speak to me afterwards, please stay. I'll stay with you. God bless you. You're dismissed. Church picnic next week. Be here. Be there. Church picnic.
And we sing.